Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of the Friends with Money podcast. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and it's great to be with you once again. I'm really excited about today's episode because it's a topic that I'm always interested in learning a little bit more about, and I'm sure a lot of listeners will feel the same. We are talking about building an investment portfolio, and not just some of the fundamentals involved, but also some of the factors that anyone who's either thinking about investing for the first time or who has already started their investment journey will be wanting to consider at the moment. And to help guide us through our conversation today, I'm pleased to say that I'm joined by the General Manager and Country Head of Digital Investment Platform SIFE Australia, Tim Wallace. Tim, welcome to Friends with Money.
Thanks for having me, Tom. Great to be here.
You are very welcome. So, Tim, to start us off, what are some of the major, I guess, economic factors or other factors playing out at the moment that investors looking to build a portfolio should be thinking about?
Yeah, great question, Tom. So I think there's a few things. The first is inflation remains, the elephant in the room. Mm-hmm. I'd say while it continues to be the biggest economic factor playing out right now, I don't think that investors should get too bogged down, in trying to predict upcoming inflation prints, as an example. Instead, I think, what inflation should reiterate for investors is the need to build a portfolio around investment strategies that provide solid performance over the long term and that can ideally outpace, inflation, as an example. So what comes to mind here, Tom, is quality investing strategies, growth investment strategies, or simply investing in kind of broad-based indices. Mm. Those types of things have all over the longer term delivered investors, mid to high single digit returns. So are good things to consider. The second, I guess, economic factor at play at the moment is growth expectations have dampened across the economy. So while inflation typically doesn't remain elevated for protracted periods, investors should at the very least, I would say at the moment, brace for potentially lower returns over the short to medium term. The key economic factor we need to look at here, at least directionally, is the slowing growth across the broad economy. A good headline figure to focus on for folks is GDP growth, because whilst there is sometimes lag and divergence between GDP and the stock market, the two usually move in tandem and collectively, I'd say, represent the current state of the economy. So this point really is just to say that investors need to temper their expectations in the shorter term and instead focus, on the longer term and their goals over the longer term. The third one, Tom, I'd say is a little bit less macroeconomic, more kind of topical for the moment, but it is super interesting. And that's the emergence of the AI mega trend.
Yes.
If depending on what you read, what you pick up, you're going to see something about AI and machine learning. It's not far-fetched now to think about how AI, could disrupt whole industries, workforces, established processes. And this has the potential, right, to spur new economic growth and maybe to the detriment of other parts of the economy as well. So I think for investors, a really important one to stay close to, given the potential disruption that it can that it might have. Getting exposure to the AI thematic, I'd say, is relatively easy, which is a good thing. This can be either through like single stock investments or even sort of ETF products. So yeah, an easy one to kind of track if investors want. So they'd be my three, I'd say, most important economic factors right now: inflation, growth expectations, and the AI mega trend.
All right, I think that's an excellent backdrop Tim. And I think the AI point is really interesting as well, and something to obviously look out for. I guess kind of getting into some fundamentals now then, something that I was thinking about is, you know, before someone starts to actually, you know, think about what they should invest, is it worth them taking a step back and thinking about, you know, anything else, like, you know, their goals or something else before they jump in?
Yeah, I mean, this is like fundamental to investing. I think when you think about the type of investing mistakes many of us make, you know, they can be largely grouped into two buckets. The first is mistakes based on like an emotional response or a bias. You know, many of us have been guilty of selling out at peak fear and buying with FOMO, and this is dangerous, right? And the second are mistakes really made based on a lack of knowledge, lack of time spent researching, or even like poor information or advice. So to your question, when we think about why setting goals in an investment plan early is important, it can actually help mitigate many of those common mistakes that investors of actually all sophistication can make. It's not just new investors, it's existing investors as well. So having a plan, having goals, constantly revisiting it and sticking to it to form your information and decision-making, really, really important.
I wish I'd had a little bit more of a think about goals before I jumped in a couple of years ago. But
me too, mate. Me too.
Kind of making up for it now. You know, so those some important considerations to start with, and I want to delve into some, you know, other fundamentals like diversification and rebalancing in a moment. Before we get into rebalancing, we've got to talk about working out what to actually buy. So Tim, how should someone approach this decision, given that, you know, for most investors, their budgets, you know, aren't going to be endless?
Yeah, look, I mean, this is the $1 million question, isn't it? So I think that the answer, and this might be a little frustrating, is it depends on a few variables. So, you know, this depends really on the type of investor you want to be, your goals, which we touched on before, the time horizon you have to invest, the risk you're willing to take over that time, and the means you have to invest, right? So like I said, setting those goals and investment plan early, really important first step. Once you've got that, it's very important to note that there's no one-size-fits-all approach when it comes to investing. So, you know, a large portion of us, I would say making sure, you know, we're adequately focused on diversification in what we buy. We have the mindset to invest consistently, and we don't, I would say, act on emotion, are pretty important fundamentals to go into investing with. Before you decide to invest, I would say that, you know, picking the right investment platform that supports your goals is also really important. You know, you want to pick something that's easy to use for you. It offers the choice that you want, you know, is low cost, and gives you the investment tools that you need. Not all platforms are created equal, and often they will focus on different things that investors need to be mindful of. You know, as an example, right, SIFE lets you buy into US shares from a dollar, Aussie shares from one unit. So a really low barrier to entry that a lot of people might like if they don't have large means to start investing. And then I guess to your question, Tom, deciding on what to buy, you know, if professional advice is out of reach, which it actually is for many of us, given how cost prohibitive it can be, I think being well-researched is really important. There are fantastic free resources available that really help refine investment choices that are available to us based on our individual investor objectives. You can get a lot of information overload, which is quite paralyzing for many people. So, you know, picking an investment platform that gives you that free library of content is important, and also gives you really powerful tools to simplify the investment choices is also really important as well, I would say.
Tim, I'm going to pick up on something that you mentioned there, which is diversification. You know, it's a word that's been drilled into my head at this point. But, you know, for people that don't quite understand what it means in the context of investing, in the context of building a portfolio, what does it actually mean? And why is it an important consideration for people to make?
Awesome question. So might start firstly with kind of what is diversification and why is it important before going into, you know, a few examples. I'd say that diversification in investing, like really simply, just refers to the practice of investing across different things, whether they be asset classes, industries, or geographies as examples, with the objective to reduce the overall risk of a portfolio. You know, the idea behind this is investing in a mix of things versus, you know, investing in any one thing. You improve your chances of achieving more consistent returns. And you do remove a bit of the volatility that can be involved in being kind of hyper-focused. So I guess thinking through how to build a diversified portfolio, you know, that there's no silver bullet, but there are a few tips, I think, that are helpful to consider for folks. You know, everyone investing, no matter how sophisticated, like we've spoken about, should start with goal setting and an investment plan. As an example, someone investing over 3 years versus 30, you know, will still or should still be focused on diversified investment, but the things they invest in and the risk they're willing to take will be different. So, you know, that no one size fits all approach is really important here. When it comes time to invest, you know, I think fortunately these days investors have amazing tools at their fingertips, which enable them to diversify effectively and efficiently. As I'm sure you've spoken about at length before, you know, exchange traded funds or ETFs, you know, really invest in a broad range of assets or sectors, which can provide instant diversification in one buy, which makes it easier and way more cost-effective, you know, for investors to diversify easily versus, you know, buying a whole bunch of things at once. I'd say, you know, SIFE has taken this even further with a few things that it's doing, you know, pre-packaged orders, combining multiple ETFs in one order that an investor can match to their investment plans, you know, are things that people can look at and are really powerful tools. And then finally, you know, I would say that diversification is made more powerful through consistent investment. So if done regularly over time, I think this can enable an investor to take advantage of the natural peaks and troughs in the market, and further potentially reduce, you know, the risk of their investments over time as well.
Tim, you've kind of perfectly teed me up for my next question then, which is when should, you know, a new investor start thinking about actually rebalancing their portfolio then, and how could they or can they approach that?
So yeah, and another really good question. I think when we think about a portfolio that an investor has bought into, if they're focused on diversification in that portfolio, they'll likely have different target allocations to different assets when they start. So, you know, what I mean by that is 20% on this ETF, 30% here, 50% here as an example. What happens though over time is that an investor's actual allocation, you know, can and probably will deviate away from their target allocation. So this is just naturally through things like market moves, you know, asset prices will change as market moves. And that target allocation will move away from the actual allocation. So rebalancing is simply referring to the process of recalibrating that difference between target allocation and, you know, actual allocation. And this is typically done, Tom, through, you know, selling overperforming assets and buying underperforming assets. So when to do this, though, really important to call out is on the individual and their strategy. You know, you can get quite sophisticated here. So consulting a financial advisor on rebalancing strategies can help. But for most of us, though, you know, as a general rule, some investors will rebalance to their target at a set time interval. You know, it might be every month or probably every quarter, or if the actual and target allocations diverge by a certain percentage. So, you know, like we've spoken about, setting a good investment strategy at the start of your journey where you can actually define these things are really good points to start, because then you know when certain things are hit, you will rebalance, right? I think rebalancing these days as well is made easier with lower cost trading platforms, as an example, like Xyph, because it enables an investor to rebalance more frequently without eating into their returns with high brokerage. You know, days gone by, high brokerage, you know, can sometimes be a bit prohibitive to rebalance, in particular if people have got multiple assets in their portfolio, and these things are made a bit simpler now.
Tim, you've given us an excellent overview already, but before we let you go, is there, you know, perhaps any one point that you would suggest to anyone who is building a portfolio that they, you know, should either think about or perhaps avoid altogether?
I think at a high level, there's a few things that new and existing investors should always think about. So just a few points, right? Mapping your own financial situation and understanding how much you can invest, super important at the start, and also ongoing parts of your investment journey. Being clear on why you're investing, so setting goals and your strategy, which we've touched on. Spending time on building your knowledge, getting the basics down is important. Just get going. So time in the market will almost always beat trying to time the market, which is really hard to do. Make sure, as we've spoken about, you're diversified. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. And then finally, and this is certainly one that I am massively guilty of, is don't act on emotion. So stick to your strategy. Really, really important. That would be my tips.
I think that's very natural. And like we were saying before, I think I've been guilty of that too. Tim, this has been such an excellent and interesting chat. Thank you so much for joining us, and look forward to having you back on the pod another time.
My pleasure, Tom. Thanks so much for having me.
Before we go, don't forget that if you enjoy listening to Friends with Money, we'd love you to share or recommend it to your own friends or family. Not only does that help us out, but they might just like it as much as you do. You can also leave us a glowing review on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. And while you're there, hit the subscribe button to make sure that you don't miss out on our future episodes. We'd also love to hear from you if you have any questions, comments, or even story ideas. So to send something our way, make sure you use our dedicated email, which is podcast@moneymag.com.au. And last of all, you can keep up to date with all the latest financial news and views on our website by heading over to moneymag.com.au. That's it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast, though, but we will be right back in your feeds next week. I'm Tom Watson. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.